Hi, I'm Carr Wilson, Doctor of Behavioral Health, and I want to welcome you to Covenant Behavioral Health, started in 2011. We've been an industry leader in the mental health field, servicing active duty personnel, veterans, and their families. Our practice started in St. Louis, Missouri, and has expanded with offices in Iowa and California. Covenant Behavioral Health is a registered 501c3 agency, and we're committed to servicing active duty, military personnel, their dependents, and the local community at large through education and therapeutic services. We blend professional psychotherapy and psychoeducation material in an integrated healthcare setting to assist with relationships, healing wounds of the past, and enhancing our patients' quality of life. Here at Covenant Behavioral Health, we are committed to the preservation of families and relationships. Using practical, interactive, and solution-focused approach, we provide support and practical feedback to help our patients resolve current problems and change long-standing behavior patterns. Hello, this is Dr. Wilson with Covenant Behavioral Health. I want to welcome you to our weekly broadcast. Today we have a very special guest, one of my good friends who is with us, Paul Cobb. I'm going to invite him to step in a couple of seconds here and introduce himself, telling us who he is, what he does, and why he's here today. Before we get started, I want to invite you to visit our website at www.covenantbehavioralhealth.org. That's covenantbehavioralhealth.org. And go to our event page where you can find our monthly High Desert Professional Counselors Group meetings. We meet every second Saturday of the month from 9 until 11 a.m. Today we had a great presentation by Jennifer Cobb on the process of grief or grief recovery. If you'd like more information about that, how to obtain CEs, we invite you to reach out to us at 760-241-6044. Again, that's 760-241-6044. Well, today we have Paul with us. And Paul, I wanted you to tell us a little bit about who you are, your background, and what you do today.
Well, thank you for the invite, Dr. Wilson. It's an honor for me to be here with you guys. My background is retired military. Spent 20 years in the Marine Corps. During that time was experienced a lot of things in my own life, in my own personal life and professional life. After I retired and we settled here in California, I began to pursue higher education in regards to mental health, pastoral counseling, behavioral health, resiliency. So the reason that I am here today and the reason I do what I do is because I believe that we can let people know that they are not alone in whatever situation, life circumstance they're in. And specifically with leaders, spiritual leaders, who might find themselves alone. They care a lot for people, but they don't know how to care for themselves. And so not calling a niche or anything like that, but one of my goals is to be able to be that sounding board for them and walk them along some of the paths they're walking on.
Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, thank you. Well, that fits in. Actually, one of our missions here at Covenant Behavioral Health, we have a threefold mission, but one of our missions here is really to help train leaders, other mm-hmm. professionals like mm-hmm. ourselves. We accept trainees, associate level professionals who need that training so they can operate at an independent license level. And so we certainly believe in paying it forward, and not just paying it forward, but coming alongside of those people mm-hmm. who are in the trenches and teaching them how to be very good
yes.
at what they do, not only with taking care of the patients, but taking care of themselves also. So I agree 100%. Thank you for sharing. Now, so you spent 20 years in the Marine Corps, and what did you do in the Marine Corps?
I was in aviation maintenance. I worked on every aircraft in the Marine Corps arsenal for 20 years, and some Navy, even some Air Force.
Okay.
Got to travel around the world.
Uh-huh.
So it was quite the experience.
All right. And so how do you go from being a aviation maintenance person to pastoral to counseling? How did you do that?
Well, during at one point in my career, I hit a wall. And that wall shook my faith. It shook me emotionally. It shook me physically. And so every area of my life was unbalanced. And, you know, I spoke to people, talked to people, and I just really didn't feel like they were speaking to me, you know. And so I was searching and looking, and I just couldn't find what I needed. And so that really stuck with me. And then after, right before my retirement, I was injured. Again, fell right into another dark spot because I felt like the after service career that I had planned now was gone to me. I couldn't do it. It just really stuck with me that my needs weren't being met.
Okay.
And not being selfish, but I really felt like there was more to it than just sitting down and talking to somebody and going through some steps, which are all good. I don't want to minimize those.
Mm-hmm.
But to speak to me in every part of my life. So that's emotionally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. How do I heal? How do I become whole again?
Okay. And I often do say, and I probably have said this absolutely every single broadcast, that I do believe as helping professionals, we come to this field for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's something within our own lives that has made us question, why me? What is this trying to teach me about myself, about others? It's because of something that's happened to a loved one that brings us to this field. And I want to say, I can't think of a better reason why not to start this journey, you know, because you're trying to figure yourself out, or you're trying to figure your family member, your loved one out. And so, well, that's interesting to hear, because I find it very true that we often come to this field, certainly having something to do with our personal journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so let me ask you this. We're talking about how you transition from the Marine Corps and into what you do right now. What is your credentials right now? What credentials do you currently hold?
Well, I'm currently working on a doctorate in ministry at the Regent University that is specifically focusing on the personhood, restoration,
mm-hmm.
and revitalization. Additionally, and also I'm working with Liberty University towards achieving licensed professional counselor.
Okay.
So that it's CACREP and accredited, so which is really wonderful. California accepts it, which I'm really
mm-hmm.
happy.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two different paths I'm taking right now.
Wow.
So, you know, my course load is full, but through this all, I'm getting a better picture of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And really being strengthened, and I think my resolve has really been strengthened, to get this done. In addition to that, of course, I hold credentials with our fellowship as an ordained minister. So that's very important to me to be able to work in a religious and spiritual fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the path I'm taking right now. Hopefully we'll be finished soon.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think I remember, are you currently serving as
I do serve as a chaplain with the California Military Department. So that includes
Is that the National Guard?
National Guard, Air National Guard.
Okay.
And then the California State Guard.
Okay.
There's three different aspects of that, our departments that fall underneath there. Additionally, I also work as a chaplain with Orange County Fire Authority and Orange County Probation.
Okay. All right. So you're doing chaplaincy work. So it's not like you're really your focus, your area, and I dare say your passion is really helping people who are, I'm going to quote, you said personhood. And when I hear that word personhood, I think of taking care of the whole person.
Yes.
Their physical, spiritual aspect.
Yes.
Of, okay, all right.
Yeah, we can treat, you know, we can treat one part of the person, but that's not the entire person. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what I enjoy seeing people healed completely. Mm-hmm. So when I'm speaking with people, working with people, I'm not just speaking to the spiritual aspect, but also to the emotional, the physical, and the relational.
Okay.
You know, that which makes mm-hmm. up all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, great. Well, let me ask you a question here. And I typically go through when I'm doing an interview style podcast. I got questions that I go through, and I'd like to know from your standpoint, especially coming from a faith background, like what's one of the common myths that you hear about taking care of or treating people of faith? Like what's one of the common myths?
One of the common myths that I hear is that it's because people have sinned or done something bad.
Mm-hmm.
That they are having an emotional breakdown or an emotional moment. And while I believe that there is some spiritual aspect to that, there might be a spiritual component of that,
mm-hmm.
I believe that everybody is susceptible to weakness in their emotional state, mental state. And so we need to, instead of being skeptical and pointing fingers and even just hands off, I think we need to be more hands-on with this. When we see people who are struggling, you know, it could be what Jennifer talked about today. It could be something to do with grief,
mm-hmm.
with loss, which is, of course, is a very big deal. It could be just a wall they've hit. So we can't see mental illness or emotional breakdown as it was caused by sin or something bad.
Just as a sin.
Right, right. It needs to be and we need to dive into it and find the need behind the need. We mm-hmm. need to find the cause.
Okay. So. All right. And so what's one of the ways that as a professional, as a listener, that you can debunk, or how do you debunk that? Like, how do you pull back on that that myth there that emotional problems, mm-hmm. mental health issues are a direct result of sin?
I think what you have to do is, again, when we bring in the whole person aspect, usually you're going to find something that preceded this. It could have been a relational breakdown. It could have been something in their physiological
mm-hmm.
That caused this. And so I like to work backwards from this point into the beginning until we can find that. Now, you know, some people do bring things upon themselves because of actions or
mm-hmm.
words.
Mm-hmm.
However, what I'm seeing is when I'm talking to people or speaking with others who are caring for people, to walk backwards and get the entire picture. Don't just concentrate on what was done, but concentrate on some of the factors that led up to that specific moment in time.
Yeah.
It's like an investigation. Absolutely. A criminal investigation.
Yeah. You know, working backwards.
Backwards, yeah. Not just focusing on one thing, but just take the big picture. And so that's what I try to do. Through my listening
mm-hmm.
and my note taking and things that I've learned, that way I can get a better picture of where this person was
mm-hmm.
before they hit that wall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like I'm hearing you say that education is a key component.
Yes.
If you can educate people about like their mental illness or mental health issues are not just a direct result of sin, mm-hmm. but there could be other contributing factors,
right?
And it's important to know and to find out like where you were
right.
when this started. I think of comorbid disorders like
mm-hmm.
Say hypertension. Right. Hypertension and anxiety go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Diabetes and depression go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have a physical diagnosis of diabetes mm-hmm. and you can experience some depression. Doesn't mean that you've sinned,
right.
but because you have this physical condition now,
yes.
we can go back and we could trace that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, educating people. So
one of the things I do see a lot of is shame.
Mm-hmm.
Shame is brought up a lot. And because people don't know how to deal with it. And I'm not talking about shame-based cultures. What I'm speaking about is something that happened probably as a child or adolescent or earlier adulthood. And so when there's a trigger, it brings all that back up again because it was never dealt with. So that's what I'm finding a lot lately is shame. People are ashamed of what happened. And there's usually a root cause, mm-hmm. something that happened early in the childhood. And mm-hmm. of course, as you know, that's when we do origenograms and our outlines, you know, mm-hmm. our steps. So it's, again, this is how we start peeling back the layers of the onion. Mm-hmm. You know, this is when we begin to find out the whole person and what they're about.
Okay.
So we can't just focus on one aspect. Yeah, it's got to be the whole thing.
That presenting issue.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to step back and take a look at the whole matter.
Yes.
Consider the whole matter.
Yes.
All right. So here at Covenant Behavior Health, so we have this threefold mission. Mm-hmm. We have our clinical mission, which is taking care of military personnel and their families, their dependents, yes. Active duty, retirees, veterans. We take care of all of those populations. And then our second mission, our other mission, is certification and trainings. Mm-hmm. So we offer several certification programs where we certify individuals, groups. They can be secular or faith-based. We offer these programs. And then we have our workshops and seminars, which are more typically faith-based in nature, where we are presenting to faith-based organizations. And we go out and we do stuff. It's all about our family preservation. So that training and certification part, though, that second mission, we have big part of who we are. We invite trainees and associates to come from, I'll say, pretty much anywhere. We have a couple schools who we really we love getting those students from there. I won't call any names because I want to get in trouble. But one particular school we get, they have a faith-based counseling program, mm-hmm. and so their students come to us and they're looking to get some of those faith-based hours. And so with that being said, we have several of them actually on staff right now with Covenant Behavior Health. I'd like to know from you, what advice would you give someone wanting to enter into this profession?
I think building a network. I'm the personal belief that faith and science go hand in hand. That they each prove the other, each other's worth. And so when someone comes into this profession, I think we have to keep an open mind. There's empirical evidence that things work, and so we shouldn't shun it. And then we also have the faith-based aspect of it. And in my experience, I've seen that everyone has some part of them that is spiritual in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are in the darkest moments of their life, they are going to reach back upon any kind of spiritual experience they've had in the past, mm-hmm. whether it's good or bad. So we need to just keep that open mind and not be afraid to probe and discover what makes that person tick. And I think if we approach it from an open mind on science and faith, I think it would build a better competent counselor, if you will. Someone who's well-rounded in what people are facing today.
Mm-hmm. So then having, you said a network in the beginning here, a network was important for someone wanting to enter into this field. And it sounds like I'm hearing you also add that being able to approach someone that you are looking to help from the standpoint, not only is there this physical, mm-hmm. there's this scientific, there's this evidence which you mm-hmm. can see, you can touch, yep. with your hands, but then there is this invisible aspect that oftentimes can be muddied and distant, and that when people are hurting, it's important for them to be able to reach back to that. So yes. As a professional, and you helped me out here, as a professional, it sounds like you want to be able to bridge those two together.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about new people coming into this field, and I think I teach all of our professionals, whether they are faith-based counselors or not, that we are part of our assessment protocol when we're doing the biopsychosocial is to ascertain faith-based mm-hmm. information.
Yes.
If they go to church, what church do they go to? If they have a religion, what religion? Not just Christian. I want to know what church they go to. I want to know what denomination there is, because I think for the most part, most people, you can certainly find some positive aspects
right.
of their faith, and you can certainly use that to help them get unstuck and back on track again. So being able to do that is incredibly important.
Right.
And what a wonderful complement to all of the other evidence-based tools that mm-hmm. you're using, too. It's not just one way to approach it. But, again, I think that goes back to the whole taking care of the whole person.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, what I've seen, again, Dr. Wilson, is, you know, people are spiritual in nature, whether they believe in God or Allah or they're Buddhist or... Mm-hmm. Or are they just the universe? You know, it's most people will hold on to some type of higher being as some part of their foundation, mm-hmm. as part of their makeup. So it's important that we ethically integrate that, you know, with their permission, and integrate some of those spiritual practices from if they agree into the therapy session, to that relationship, so that they, you know, again, it's touching the entire person.
Yeah, I can remember I started off this field actually as a pastoral counselor. Mm-hmm. I got my bachelor's degree in pastoral studies, and then I went on to start pastoral counseling. And it's clear as day, and I'm probably sharing a whole lot. I know not only do our professionals get a chance to listen to this podcast, but so do other people who just go visit our website. But I started off as a pastoral counselor, and I remember hearing from God so distinctly, so clear, that I was not supposed to be a pastoral counselor. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to meet and help people no matter where they are, mm-hmm. no matter what their denomination was, no matter what their faith was, no matter where they were in life. And I've had the unique opportunity, which is one of the reasons why we do not consider ourselves here at Covenant Behavior Health. This may shock people, especially pastors are out there listening who refer people to us. We do not consider ourselves to be a faith-based organization. We are not distinctly Christian at all. We help people no matter where they are in life. And so I can recall helping one Satanist who came to visit us. She was an active participant in therapy for quite some time, carried the card around and everything, and was very proud of the local assembly there in Los Angeles that she attended. And so, you know, but she knew who we were. She knew who we were, and she came here to get help. Hindus. We're very fortunate in that I agree with you 100% that people are, whether they like to acknowledge it or not, or they even know it, there is a part to them that is the spiritual makeup. And if you can help people, no matter what their religion or no matter what their faith background is, if you can help them, then I think you are light years ahead of the game than just taking that one straight arrow approach.
Right.
Yeah. If you can help tap into their faith. We've had all kind of people come through here where we've been able to help people, and they've not been of the, Christian faith. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll bring up a word that will make some people cringe, but it's called being pluralistic.
Mm-hmm.
As a chaplain dealing mm-hmm. with service members,
yes.
not all of them are the same faith.
Yes.
And so understanding their different faiths helps you become more competent, but also gives them more confidence that you can help them. So in these cases, you know, it's okay to be pluralistic. It's okay to have a good understanding of the different religions and even the non-religious people.
Yes.
So that way you're still helping the person, because that's what we're here for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and people that take this calling of a helping profession, they don't do it for the money. We don't do it for the money. You know, we don't do it for the accolades. We do it because we want to see people healed. And that's the only reason we're here.
I agree 100%. Yes. So what kind of resources have you identified that have really helped you on this journey? Is there two things that you can think of that have really helped you along this journey?
My resources, well, if you're talking about literature or
any resources, and you have this twofold mission road that you're on right now. You know, the whole person centered journey, uh-huh. And then you have this professional counseling journey that you're on right now. And I think that's great. That's certainly, you know, that's my background too. Yes. I am a licensed ordained minister with the United Pentecostal Church also. And so even though I'm not distinctly a Christian counselor, I am a licensed minister and a licensed professional counselor.
Yes. Though.
So when I talk about resources, what has helped you that you would probably point out as, man, this has been a great resource for me. This has been a great resource for me. It could be a person, a place, a thing, or an event.
Yeah, I really rely on there's a group called the American Association of Christian Counselors, and some people are skeptical when they look at it, but when you really study them, a lot of them are medical doctors and have been in this profession for many, many years, and so they don't approach it from just a faith-based approach. They approach it from a holistic approach to help people, and then when needed, there is the faith-based resources that you can rely on, whether it's CUs, or there's seminars, there's conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the resources I've used is them, and also other counselors who have been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've bounced things off of you. I have professors within that have sat in counseling classes with, and I bounce things off of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Harts, Archibald Hart, his daughters, people like that who are in it to see people healed and help them finish well, to finish out life, regardless of what happened before today. You know, we're going to finish well. So those are the resources I have drawn on.
Okay.
For me, to help me personally and professionally.
And I think you mentioned that earlier too, that network, having that network was important. So, and I am very familiar with the American Association of Christian Counselors. It's a good organization to be a part of.
I'm a card-carrying member.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good organization to be a part of.
Yes.
What do you wish you had known before you started out?
I wish I had known that the emotional part of humans is so complex. Mm. I did not realize the depth of the emotional part of humanity. It's it's so complex. It's can change from day to day, and then of course there are pitfalls, and there are places where people get stuck and can't move past. From a person who looks at this profession from the outside, it maybe seem easy. You know, somebody comes in, asks for help, you give them some steps to follow, you know, you kind of encourage them, positive psychology, positive thinking, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah. And for you to bring that up, when you started talking there, I immediately started to think about how difficult it is, especially for males, to want to deal with the complexity or the messiness of emotions and feelings and things of that nature. I think these are statistics from last year. I think it's like 0.3% African Americans are in this field. I think we're talking about 3% males are in this field. So it is not a field that draws many males to this helping professional field. I think the American Psychological Association put out some statistics about 20-something. Our males are retiring at a higher rate, and we don't have that backlog coming in to sort of fill in those who are leaving the professional. And it's so important to get males to come and be a part of it.
I agree.
It
You know, women, don't mean to cut you off there, but women have a more nurturing spirit or attitude. And, you know, people are more opening to them. Where if I sit down with somebody, you sit down, people are a little more standoffish because you don't know what I'm going through. You know, you have... So I think that's why. And so maybe the frustration factor is there, and it's like, I'm done.
It is. Well, like I said, it is a difficult feel. It is a difficult feel, especially for males. Males have a very slow, I will say, and this is certainly because of nature. I'm sorry, nurture. They have a very slow development for the empathy, for the emotional intelligence part. It is, and that's simply that's we're not trained that way. We're not nurtured that way as children growing up. We're taught to kill and destroy. That's what we're taught. And, you know, don't cry and don't show any emotions. Right. And girls, it's okay. You can be sad. Yes. Let it all out, you know, and not guys. So that's the reason why you're like, you know, when people see us, they already know. I'm like, you know, you're not going to understand what I got to say or where I've been. But certainly, we're living proof right here. Two guys doing this podcast right now that guys can be a part of this. Men can be a part of this field. Yes.
Most definitely.
So what unique skill has helped you become who you are today as this retired Marine who is operating as a chaplain, who is seeking a doctorate in divinity and a licensed professional counselor? So what unique skill has helped you be successful?
The first one is listening. Listening has formed a area within me that I didn't know existed, and that area is empathy. Not sympathy, but empathy. Actually being able to get on their level and walk in their shoes to feel what they're feeling. So I think that's one of the things I have didn't know about myself that I've discovered is that listening and empathetic feeling, attribute that I have.
Okay.
The last one is I love to learn. And so I know some people say, oh, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, it's all been done. I think there's always something that we can learn, not just to help others, but to better ourselves and our profession. So that way we are on the cutting edge. We are the tip of the spear. And, it could be with technology. It could be with diagnostics. It could be any part of the profession, but listening, which of course brings empathy, and then having that learning spirit. Never quit learning.
Absolutely, I agree with that 100%. If I could, I would be back in school right now. My wife, she's gonna kill me, but. Yeah, I knew I never thought about being a doctor, a medical doctor. Never even crossed my mind. But in these later years of my life, though, I have been giving some serious thought to. I said, well, you know what? I'll be an RN. I'll be a physician assistant. You know, there's nothing wrong with going back. I would do something like nurse practitioner or a physician assistant. That's what I would do. But I just can't get her on board. So I think lifelong learning is very, very important. It's a very important key to being successful. I would agree. All right. What's your favorite word?
Resiliency.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. And in the military, we use that a lot. In the military, I don't care what branch you're in, DOD, resiliency is key.
Well, in the Marine Corps, of course, our motto is Semper Fidelis, but we would call it Semper Gumby. Uh-huh. Always flexible. So that's so I didn't want to use that word Semper Gumby. So yeah. That's why I use the word resiliency.
Yes, yes. Give me one thing that you are not very good at.
I am not organized.
Fair. And what if you could have one superpower? What would that be?
Mind reading.
If you were a type of food, what type of food would you be?
Beans.
And let me ask you this. What is your population that you are passionate about?
I am most passionate about the people who take care of people. So the helping profession.
Pastors.
Those are the pastors, yeah. Clinicians, therapists, counselors, or whatever, you know, whatever they want to call themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm passionate about them because we need them healthy. And they're so concerned about making sure other people are healthy.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're not healthy on their own.
You got it. You got it. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brother Cobb, we appreciate you being here and sharing, being a part of our weekly broadcast at Covenant Behavior Health. Again, this is Dr. Wilson. I am signing off today with Paul Cobb, who is a chaplain, retired Marine Corps veteran, who currently is working, taking care of helpers, helping helpers take care of themselves, I should say. You can visit us on our Facebook page at Covenant Counseling or Covenant Behavior Health. Find us on Instagram at Disrupting Healthcare. You can find us on Twitter at Covenant C. That's Covenant C on Twitter. Until next week, signing off. You guys take care.